It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Welcome back. Hour number 3 of The Drive. Quitting time on your Monday. Top 5 at 5 brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of The Drive. Earn more at CNB with free interest checking, free checking account at Citizens National Bank. Online, CNBTN.com. Number 1, Clemson star wide receiver Justin Ross has been ruled out for the 2020 season as he prepares to undergo surgery on Friday, according to Dabo Swinney. He has a spinal issue, and there's no guarantee that he can play football again. He's a good player, man.
Has he got stenosis? Is that the problem?
I don't know. He has a spinal issue, stinger symptoms in the neck area.
It was a fusion that said it happened during his childhood. So when he was growing up, I guess something was going on with his spinal cord when he was growing up as a child, and they decided
that sounds like stenosis.
They had to fix it now. Yeah.
They're going to fuse his spine? He may never play again, dude.
He's got surgery on Friday.
Huh.
They're going to try. Yeah.
Dr. Bear, very concerned.
Well, no, I'm just telling you, anytime you drop the word stenosis and fusion, that means those things are typical. Typically, it's one of those things where the doctor, you'd probably be all right, but you could hit somebody and never walk again.
Yeah, you're playing a very dangerous game. Number 2, former Indiana offensive lineman Chris Beatty was killed over the weekend in Indianapolis as violence erupted in the city. According to the Indianapolis Star, Beatty suffered multiple gunshot wounds in a shooting that was reported just before midnight. He's pronounced dead at the scene. He was just 38 years old.
Who was that again?
Chris Beatty, 38. So obviously he played there a long time ago, but he had deep Indianapolis roots. He played at the local Cathedral High School there. He was on a couple of state championship teams, and evidently things turned ugly there in Indy over the weekend. As we talked about earlier in the top 4, number 3, Pat Dye has passed away today at the age of 80. The legendary former Auburn coach from 1981 to 1992, 4 SEC titles in 12 seasons as Auburn's head coach. And I believe 1989, we shared the championship with them in Alabama. It was a 3-way tie.
Yeah, we lost to Bama. We beat them. And then I guess they won the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, I remember that because it was – Tennessee had played Vanderbilt to finish the season 11-1, and then they were showing the Iron Bowl inside Thompson Bowling, and everybody was cheering for I think it was Bama beat Auburn to cancel that.
No, it would have had to have been because we beat Auburn that year. That was Reggie Cobb year.
Ah, yeah, okay.
We were having to root for Auburn. It was god awful.
Who beat Alabama that year?
Auburn. Auburn beat Alabama.
Who beat Auburn? We did.
We did.
Who beat us?
Alabama.
Alabama. In a Mexican standoff right here. My brain hurts. Number 4, Josh Dobbs was nervous and awestruck at the same time while he was watching the historic SpaceX Crew Dragon launch on Saturday morning. Jags quarterback, former Vol. It's been a month at NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Cape Canaveral participating in an NFLPA externship, so he knew how much work and preparation went into the launch. Quote, I really felt the nervousness watching the countdown, knowing what those astronauts have gone through to get to this moment, Dobbs said. Being able to see the teamwork involved in preparation for this launch was incredible to me. It's so much like a football team. You see how everyone doing their job fits together and makes something great happen. Astro Dobbs.
I mean, is there any doubt? I think we'll see him strapped into one of those things eventually.
Does he want to do that? I thought he just wanted to build them.
Oh, come on, Dobbs. He wants to be up on the space station.
I was having this conversation with a neighbor this morning. What should we do? What should be the next big space goal? Going back to the moon
or go to
Mars?
We have to go to the moon first. We have to get back to the moon because you got to stage everything to Mars from the moon.
So we go to the moon, build right. like a pit stop place there.
I don't know if it's actually a pit stop, but it has something to
like a Weigel's.
What? No, not like a Weigel's tray. No, but one of the plans to get to Mars, we have to go back to the moon first. I don't understand why we stopped going.
I mean, I guess after you've been there a couple of times, it's like,
what, take a couple looks around at something?
No, I mean, I'm sure they all loved it, and it's amazing. I'm sure the astronauts really enjoyed it.
We barely scratched the surface of what there was to learn on the moon.
Well, what else is there to learn?
I don't know,
Russ. Exactly. I think
we stopped going.
We went up there. We took a dune buggy. We drove around, played some golf. That's it. Left a flag there. You think that flag's still on the moon?
I'm not sure if it's still. Yeah, it's still on the moon. Would somebody go by? Somebody go by and steal it?
Well, I mean, does it like? Their footprints are still there. I don't know. Does it decompose?
No, it's in almost a near vacuum of space. It might get knocked down or something by a meteor or something. I know the footprints are still there. They'll be there for thousands of years.
How do you know the footprints are still there?
Because I read it in a science book when I was in like fifth grade.
Wait a minute. When were you in the fifth grade?
Long after we'd stopped going to the moon. What was the last?
40 years ago?
No. Yeah. No. Not yes. quite 40.
40-ish years ago.
Yeah. We'd already stopped going to the moon, but they knew that the footprints would stay up there for a long time. Look it up, you dummy.
Maybe 40 years ago, Bear, but that's half a century.
It's a near vacuum on the moon, dude. It's not like wind's going to blow. There's no wind.
Yeah, but there are comets and meteors and, you don't know, maybe aliens?
Comets and meteors? And I feel like we'd notice if aliens had been to the moon. Unless we found maybe. Something there and they told to the us to go side. Back home. The reason we stopped going is because of the economic crash in the 70s. We couldn't afford to go. Oh,
it's a good thing our economy's on such sound footing right now. Let's go back. Number five. Protests against police brutality sweeping the nation over the weekend following the death of George Floyd. On Sunday night, UFC light heavyweight champion John Jones was attending protests in his hometown of Albuquerque, New Mexico, when he encountered some people that were vandalizing property. And John Jones ended up requesting that they hand over the spray cans to him. They obliged. Encounter was caught on tape. Saw it earlier today. Chuck Liddell was out in Los Angeles, and he was videoed trying to diffuse tension between people and keeping the protests peaceful. Trey, did you see the video of John Jones telling the guy to give him the spray can?
Oh, yeah. I saw it.
Now, be honest.
John Jones comes up to me. Hey, man, you can have this. You can have spray cans. You can have my wallet if you wanted.
The guy was kind of mouthy to him, but he did give it over. Be honest, Trey. There a little part of you in the back was like, kind of like to see what happens, like a couple of guys like try to take on John Jones and just like let's see what happens.
Couple
get it on video. Yeah, like five guys. Jones. Yeah.
How many
civilians, regular dudes, do you think it would take to subdue that guy?
Are we talking like These little protesters with their skateboards?
Yeah, yeah, the Volvo punks.
Probably 7 to 8.
I don't know. Somebody's got to go first, man. That's a problem.
I think in that situation, you have to.
Somebody's getting hit.
Well, you have to surround him and then converge at the same time. You can't. If somebody goes first, that person's just going to get knocked out.
Well, no, but I mean, he's a professional fighter.
Yeah.
People yeah, I know, but even 8 people, if you just surround him, I don't know that I still don't go Jones.
It'd be like Mr. Miyagi in that scene from The Karate Kid where he beats
somebody not quite as. How many got Bill Duff, the human weapon?
I don't know what kind of shape he's in now.
Would you still, I don't care what kind of shape. I mean, Would you really want to be going and grabbing on Duff?
Did you see the video of Chuck Liddell? Like, he's obviously not, he's still huge. But he was walking with a huge limp. And like, yeah, I'm not saying I want to get in the ring with him or anything,
he could still
but
throw
he's not
one.
What he used to be, right? I was watching, you want to watch something? I might have talked about this earlier. There's Netflix has a documentary about, you remember Ronnie Coleman, Mr. Olympia, back in the day, won Mr. Olympia like 8 times. It was just huge.
Yeah.
Just the most roided out.
Right.
Yeah. Comically huge bodybuilder of all time.
Skin looked like latex.
He was in immaculate physical condition 20 years ago. He won Mr. Olympia right. 8 times in a row. Now he's probably 50, maybe 55, and his body's broken down completely.
Well, yeah, I'd say his heart's the size of a thoroughbred horse.
Well,
now.
Not just
it's huge.
He is, his hips and
his
legs
joints,
don't work.
Yeah.
He walks with those things that right. attach to your arm. He
right.
can't go upstairs. He's just this decrepit mess. He's had like a dozen back surgeries or something, and he still lifts weights. He's just addicted to it. And he goes to, like, if you go see some cool videos, like get you some motivational videos, just like go YouTube Ronnie Coleman lifting weights back in like the 1990s.
Oh, with the,
and he's just,
with the bar's been there.
He goes to, he worked out in like this, you know, rustic gym in the middle of Dallas somewhere that was like all the stuff was all rusted out and everything. It was awesome. But anyway, that's kind of Chuck Liddell's not that bad off, but he looked kind of rough. But yeah, there was a part of me that was like, I'd like to see these kids try John Jones. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like those old Jackie Chan, Bruce Lee movies where he walks into the bar, you know, the huge like open bar, and there's like 50 ninjas in there, and he just systematically whoops them all. Well, let's see. This could be like a real life Jackie Chan movie.
A lot like that, yeah.
I'd have paid to see it.
That
I mean,
is
just certain people that are just dangerous. Yeah. No matter how many people you got, somebody's going to get killed.
All right, top 5 at 5, Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive. We love Citizens National Bank, longtime supporter of the program, and they have done so much great work out there at CNB with the PPP. What does that stand for? Why am I blanking on that? The Paycheck Protection Program.
Yeah.
They've done so much good work with local businesses and stuff like that. Working on helping the community survive, the business community. Basically, a lot of people out there are treading water. A lot of people out there are drowning. I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. It has been rough. Some people did drown from a business perspective, but some people have been able to survive thanks to the PPP. And Citizens National Bank has done a lot of good things to make that happen. So. We certainly appreciate them. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Our number, if you want to jump in here, Folky, are you see, there's a shooting in North Knoxville, evidently.
Yes, I just pulled away from the article. But
is it related to the protests and stuff, or is this just like a run-of-the-mill
shooting? It didn't specify.
Shooting.
It just said there was one victim. It appears to be non-life-threatening.
Well, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
I got breaking news out of Major League Baseball.
What do you got, Trey?
Jeff Passan of ESPN reports Major League Baseball intends to propose a shorter season in which they would pay players a full prorated share of their salaries. Sources told ESPN, the league believes the late March agreement allows it to set the schedule and that this would fulfill players' prorated desire.
Play ball.
Play ball.
Nate on Twitter says, pretty sure it's a known scientific fact that the flag on the moon has fallen down. They have telescopes that can see that stuff, but that wouldn't be in Bear's fifth grade textbook from 1973.
Well, since you tried to protect him and he's taking a shot, you're not. If he wants to call in and take a shot, that's known dullard Westchester.
Why you got to dox the guy?
Because you thought it was funny.
It is funny. It's a drive rule.
If you want to take a shot, call in and take a shot. You coward.
I was always a little thrown off when you call him Nate. I was like, wait a minute.
I thought it was Hodges.
Do they have a telescope that can see the fallen flag? I'm not even sure that's on
true.
The moon? I don't know.
We're talking about Westchester, who's on a pitch count. If he's had more than four beers, he's not allowed to call the show. Were you aware of that, Fulkerson? Yeah.
We have rules. This isn't NOM.
If the guy drinks more than four beers, he's not allowed on air.
I do like Bearer thinking that because he read and when he was 10 years old that the flag is still standing on the moon.
No, I don't know about the flag.
40 years later, it's still there.
It's the footprints I was talking about. Yeah. Look it up for me, Fulkerson.
I mean, if the flag's still there.
The flag may. I think the flag actually may have fallen over. I
think I did read that the flag.
I know that one of them got blown over when they took off.
Yes, it fell over when they took off.
And then the next time, I think they may have put it further away. The next flag they put up. I'm not sure about it though. I don't think that we have a telescope that can actually see the.
Yeah,
flag.
Well, I mean that seems like you've got Neil Armstrong, and.
I'm sure the scientists at NASA are really going to part with the Hubble.
Well, I think these are really smart guys, right? And they plant the flag, like, right by the thing. They hey, Buzz, why don't you walk it down there a little? Yeah, you keep going.
Away from the rocket when we blast off?
Yeah.
Keep going, Buzz.
I guess we all have our blind spots, right?
Yeah.
That must have felt like a real... When he looks out the window as he's blasting off from the moon and imagine sees the flag.
Similar to what we go through here in the
did
station.
Did he hear the Curb Your Enthusiasm thing in the background? Oh, wait. We got to go back. Hold on.
Yeah, there's no going back on that
down,
thing.
Buzz.
I always felt sorry for the third guy, Michael Collins, who had to
have
stay.
Have you read his book?
No, I have not.
It's amazing. He talks about when they first left to go to the surface, and they're on the – he goes around the backside of the moon, and he said it hit him all at once.
He's all alone?
Yeah, that he was completely – he was the farthest human being that had ever been apart from the planet completely alone.
But what about – I mean, they get to go down there. You go all that way to the moon.
Right.
1969.
He was command module pilot.
You go all the way, and then they get to go down, and you just have to stay there.
That's how it worked.
I feel like Michael Collins got a raw deal.
Michael Collins had a pretty big responsibility.
I understand that, but...
Read his book. I strongly urge everybody to read that, but it's a fascinating book, especially the chapter about
whole
deal.
We know the guys, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin. Nobody's ever heard... You ever heard of Michael Collins, Folky?
I have not.
Exactly. He hasn't. No. Nobody's ever heard of Michael Collins.
Poor
Michael Collins.
More of a space aficionado.
Oh, yeah. Space Astro Bear over here knows all there is knows all there is to know.
Well, it was a big deal when I was a kid.
I mean, it was a different time in the 1960s.
It was the 70s.
Cars were.
70s. You got to make me any older than I am. I was a child of the 70s.
I mean, what was Watergate like?
Extremely scary for a 3-year-old bear. Yeah.
Very scary?
Yeah. I mean, Nixon would come on, I'm not a crook. Like, this guy's scary. We've talked about him. I've admitted on air. My first memory of television is either Today in Vietnam or This is a Body Count.
Take a quick break. 865-546-8200 is your number to get on the show. 546-8200. We'll get back to these phone lines. Tanner's here. We're going to play a little jam or not a jam as well. A lot to get to. Stay with us. The Drive continues after this.
The Drive.
FanRun Radio, the drive continues. Welcome back. Russell Baird, Trey back with you. 865-546-8200. Tanner Carson going to be in a little bit with Jim or not a Jim. Real quickly, before we get to PTR, Folky, your research tells you the flag on the moon is still, quote, mostly standing?
Yes.
What does that mean, mostly standing?
I have no idea.
Imagine it. See, it had guide wires that held it up straight. Maybe it's like kind of like halfway slouched over.
And you said they last a million years?
Yeah. Well, I didn't say that's what the internet said. I have no idea.
What about the footprints?
Those are what last a million years, apparently.
Yeah, I told you. Apologize now.
You don't know. Hold on.
Apologize now.
No.
Apologize now.
You don't know that.
Apologize now.
You don't know that. Have you ever been to the moon?
Apologize now, Russ.
No. Get your apology right here, buddy.
I'm taking it. I am taking it.
You didn't tell nothing. He said he saw it on the internet.
Told you. Footprints last a million years. Thank you, Fulkerson.
I'm going to find the real story, and then you'll have to retract your I told you so. Apologize to me, and I'll get an I told you so. How do you like that?
It's not going to happen.
How do you
Russell?
Like that? PTR, good afternoon. You're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
Okay, I'm listening to all this stuff, and I'm kind of chuckling to myself, and I'm sitting in a parking lot waiting for a friend that we got to meet to go do this thing. So I start Googling while y'all are yammering back and forth. Now, the interwebs told me that the Apollo 11 flag is probably not standing because nobody thought it through about the blast from the takeoff blowing it over. The others are probably still standing, and they can see the triangulation of the shadows from satellites from Earth. So there you go. I only read it on the interweb.
So these guys, they're smart enough to build a rocket with no computer, no fancy computers like we got right now. Fly all the way to the moon. Land on the moon. Go out there. But they can't think, maybe we ought to put the flag a little further away.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing where they spent however many gazillion dollars designing a pen that could write in space and zero gravity. You know what the Russians
it's
did?
Beautiful.
You know what the Russians used, Russ?
Thank you.
So America spends a gazillion dollars designing a pen that can write in zero gravity. What do you think the Soviets did, Fulkerson?
I have no idea.
They used a pencil.
They used a pencil.
Pencils work in space. Yeah.
865-546-8200.
Full of facts, Russ. Full of facts about the space program.
Number.
I feel like I could do a show with Josh Dobbs about space.
The moon. The moon is exposed to bombardment by meteorites, which change the surface. One little space rock could easily wipe out a footprint from the moon. See, you don't know.
There's
it might still be there. We don't
There's
know.
A footprint. They were tromping all over the thing for like multiple years.
Okay.
You know, it looks in the when it snows and everybody tromp. Remember over at UT and everybody tromp around in the snow. There'd be footprints everywhere. It's like that. It's just up on the moon. There's no wind. It doesn't melt.
You're just talking now. You're just making noise come out of your mouth. You don't know. Stop. Just stop.
So confused.
I mean, one of us was indoctrinated into the space program, saturated with it, and in grade school, Russ, and one of us wasn't. You weren't even alive.
Oh, I wasn't indoctrinated. My first year in school, you know what my earliest memory of school is? You want to know my early, 1985, I was in kindergarten.
1985?
We're doing.
Oh, the
Challenger? We're lying on the mat. Let's watch the space shuttle launch. That's right. They wheel the TV. Remember, the TV is like on top of this tower. It's like strapped to it, this gigantic television. Let's watch this. Let's show the five-year-olds the space launch. The thing launches up. We're like, wow. We're lying on mats. I remember it vividly. We're lying on mats on the floor. There's the TV. The lights are dimmed. And the thing goes up. It also blows up 1 minute into the launch. The teacher just awkwardly turns it off. They're like pulling the guy off the stage with the big hook cane. They're like, oh, nothing to see here.
We didn't even watch it live. I was in high school.
I saw it. I remember it.
It's in 10th grade.
Hey, watch these seven heroes fly up into space. They're dead.
The teacher?
What do you mean they're dead?
Well, they weren't. Not until they hit the water.
Oh, yeah, they didn't walk us through that. Again, how do we know that? How do you know that? That they weren't dead? Did somebody get on the phone with them? You guys still alive? Yeah, we're alive, but we're about to crash.
That's when they found the flight recorders that had the vital sign recordings. They knew they were more than likely they were unconscious on the post explosion, but they actually didn't die until they hit the ocean surface.
So they're like,
they died of blunt force trauma, but not in the explosion. Like if you look at it slowed down, you can see the front part of the.
So we've got a guy with a gi and a black belt and a mask standing guard at the Georgia Arch in Athens.
Yeah.
What the hell's the Georgia Arch?
You know, the little, this is like a gateway kind of arch thing they have there. And it's kind of like their version of the.
What's a gi?
A gi?
Is it like stupid robes those karate kids wear?
Yeah, it's the white suit like karate kid wears. Not stupid, Bear.
Okay.
You know, like your boy Hoist Gracie used to wear. You call him stupid? Oh, it's your stupid outfit there. And he twists you up in a pretzel.
He's not 8 years old. You know.
Well, neither is this dude. What do you think, Trey? Just looking at pictures. This dude is just standing in his gi right in front of the arch. You want to?
Yeah.
I'll go back to what I said about John Jones, Trey. Kind of want to see what happens. I want to see somebody try him. Kind of want to see it. See if this dude's the real deal or if he just found this outfit at a Dick's Sporting Goods.
I'd rather see somebody just walk up and like one punch him. Just one punch him. Just knock him out.
Yeah. All right, what are you guys going to do here? Jam or not a jam? Do we have a phone call we need to work in here?
No.
No? All right, jam or not a jam, Tanner Carson. Welcome to the festivities, my friend.
I mean, is there even a microphone down there?
Do you want me to walk outside? You guys do it. I don't care what you do. Just do something.
I need to get the song.
Figure it out quickly. Yeah, he's got to sit down there. That's what has to happen first.
Sorry,
and then you go where you're going to go. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Well, you need to be careful. There's no pop filter on that. You got your pop filter.
This is live radio right now, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what's going on, Trey. I wish I could tell you.
I don't know either.
All right, so he's got to go and do. We can't hear you, Bear. We can't hear you.
He doesn't.
Yeah, we still can't hear you.
Check.
All right. I'm just gonna move along here. How you doing, Trey?
I'm good, buddy. It's good to hear from you. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, man. Good to spend time with you here.
Hope you got a good weekend. You know, I'm getting back into Friday Night Lights again.
So the owners, I'm sorry, Trey, the owners are proposing a 50-game schedule?
50 games.
I thought you said 80.
No, that was their first proposal.
I mean, a 50-game baseball season is like, why even bother, right?
I'm not a baseball, like, MLB guy, like Big Josh and stuff, but 50 games just feels like they can have that done in a month and a half and the season's over.
Yeah.
I don't know.
50 games goes by in the blink of an eye. Their negotiation, I understand this is difficult stuff, right? I understand this is a large pile of money. This is an unprecedented situation. They don't know how to divvy it up. I understand this is difficult, but it just seems like a huge cluster bleep, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know. It just feels weird.
I don't know. Basketball is you know, basketball, their season is interrupted. They still don't know what they're going to do. But it just seems like baseball is doing a worse job of actually handling it. And
all the prorated salaries and everything, it kind of feels like they're going to get their way. You just 50 games, how much money are you actually going to make from? I mean, what if they can't even have people in the state? I don't know. This is weird. Really weird.
Yeah, it's. I mean, like I've said several times, I don't want to spend time ragging on baseball, but it is. I'm not going to lose any sleep if I've said before, I don't care if they play or not, but I understand there are a lot of people that love baseball, and baseball would be – I think baseball would be a good thing for the country right now. And you talk about I think that – I'm not saying that what's happening right now is because there's no sports. I mean, obviously, that would be a dumb take. But I do think that because there's nothing in the form of entertainment and there are no big gatherings, sports is always something that brings people together, right? You go to a sporting right. event and you'll see, you know, doctors sitting next to bricklayers and whatever. There's a certain camaraderie thing and spirit of togetherness that sports brings. Concerts bring that. Movies, you know, obviously something to do. And when you don't have that, you have everybody stressed out because of this virus, and then you take away all the things that people like to do, and like people are already on edge, and then you see a badly mishandled police brutality thing. Like I do think that, like I said, not the causing factor, but maybe a contributing factor to everything that's happening.
I'm not going to argue with that point. I think anything would be good right now. But you know, at times today, I've felt awkward talking about sports when everything else is going on in the world. You know what I mean? But it's part of what we do. It's part of why we need athletics back, I think, in a sense as well.
Let's welcome
normalcy.
Yeah. Let's welcome, speaking of a sense of normalcy, Tanner Carson.
Hello.
Who is become affiliated with the drive here. He's wearing a very like Pablo Picasso kind of thing going on right now, the striped shirt. I expect him to come in a beret like, yes, I'm painting a scene here. I'm painting the picture for you. TC, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon. That was almost a disaster on air, wasn't it, having to get Bear out of here? He's on the phone.
Yeah, no. What did you – oh, so he's on the phone. Is that what you guys have decided? Okay.
Hi, Bear.
Let's move it along.
Bear said don't close talk into the microphone, so that's why I turned the volume up, and I'm like away from it. So,
oh God.
We're gonna try this.
Tanner, a little jam.
Yes.
Or not a jam will do the body good. What you got for us today?
All righty, here comes song number one. All she has is to win. She likes me
for me. Not because God. I'm with Leonardo or that. Oh, my God. I'm good. I'm good. Not a jam. That's awful. Not a good start for as far as quality music on jam or not a jam so far, in my humble opinion, Bear.
Not a jam. That was awful.
Tough crowd. Wow.
A little too corny for me. Not a jam, but I'd like to know who that was, though. I remember that song.
Yeah. Okay. Well, unanimous not a jam to start things off. That was the 1999 hit "Hey Leonardo, She Likes Me for Me" by Blessed Union of Souls. Trey.
Blessed Union of Souls. There we go. Okay.
I'm blessed that song's not playing anymore. Number two.
All right. I was getting married in the house. Positive over negative for the woman, the master. Uh-huh. Mother Queen's rising the chapter. Yeah. Deja vu. Tell you what I'm gonna do when they reminisce over you, my God. My God.
Man, I can't remember what that is. I recognize the song. I don't know anything about it, though. I will begrudgingly label that one a jam. That's all right. I have no idea what it is, though. I mean, I've heard it before, but I can't place it, Bear.
Not a jam. No, that sounds like that late 80s, early 90s.
Kind of a Bell Biv DeVoe thing almost going on there, didn't it?
It's almost kind of in between before Dre just basically reinvented hip-hop in the early 90s with the West Coast sound.
Yeah, they were aching for that revolution. Trey?
I don't feel like it's a jam.
Wow, okay.
It feels like Montel Jordan.
It felt like Bell Biv DeVoe and Jordan and Montel. Yeah. What was that, Tanner?
That was "They Reminisce Over You" by Pete Rock and CL Smooth.
Wow.
What year?
1992.
Yeah, what I thought.
Not a jam. with yours truly dissenting.
All righty. Well, the crowd's easing up just a little bit. Here comes song three.
I can't stand this song. I remember that one
really?
Too. Yeah, Squeeze.
Squeeze.
Yeah, not a fan. It's just a dull, bland milquetoast song for dull, bland milquetoast people.
What soundtrack was that off of, Russ?
I don't know.
What singles? It was the Ethan Hawke and. Oh, what's her name? She got caught shoplifting all the time out in Hollywood.
Wynonna?
Yeah. That was from that movie. I can't remember the name of the movie. Early 90s. That's a jam, man. That's Squeeze. Yeah.
Trey, it's fate. It's fate rests in your hands.
I can't stand that song.
Thank you.
Well, I can't stand all the crap you like, Trey, but here we are.
Oh. It's easy.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Watch your pie hole.
Another not a jam, but we're still having some dissenters. Yeah, Tempted by Squeeze, not a jam, Bear dissenting.
Is that the band that did Black Coffee in Bed?
I don't know.
The same group?
I don't know that much, apparently.
No clue. I thought they were one-hit wonder.
Yeah, I thought it was, too.
Go ahead.
All righty, here comes song four.
Yeah,
she never heard this song before.
She never loved you because you're whiny. You're in a bad band. Of course she never loved you. Good grief, man. Pull it together.
Scars.
Not a jam.
More makeup than your girlfriend. No, absolutely not. That's a horrible song.
Trey.
That's not a jam. Not a jam. Horrible.
Wait, could we be on the verge of the first 5 for 5 not a jam? Has that ever happened in jam or not a jam history?
I try to make it tough on y'all.
Okay.
I'm not just going to come in here playing stuff that I know everyone will like.
Was that four?
Yeah, that was four.
All right, let's see if we can make it five for five. Here we go.
I didn't know
who,
if anyone.
Who was that? Wait a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who was that?
Yeah. I didn't know if any of y'all had an angsty phase back in the early 2000s. That was the Vines with Get Free from Australia.
I can't.
What was their big hit?
It was that one.
It was that one?
And they had another one called Ride.
Okay.
So they had like
I was pretty much past my angsty phase in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You're still angsty.
Yeah. Past your angsty face.
I'm angry. Number five.
All right. Well, I picked this one especially here because it's a song about Tennessee. I'll go ahead and say that. And it's Tennessee's birthday. So here you go, in honor of the state of Tennessee.
I'm together with my Dixieland tonight. Spend my dollar. Park in a holler needs a mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight. Make a little loving. A little turn of dovin' on a Mason-Dixon night. It's my life. Oh, so right. My Dixieland delight.
Get it off. I know it's about Granger County. Get it off here. That's god awful.
I've never got, and it has nothing to do with the name of the group. I don't care that they're called Alabama. I've just never gotten it. Like, it's just not good music to me. I just don't like it. It's again dull, bland music for dull, bland people. Like,
you're making some people mad with that one.
Utter rubbish.
Oh, we've got it. The first perfect 5 for 5.
I thought I would have had it with that one.
A single jam. I'm sure Trey loves
it,
though.
Minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I wasn't asked.
Well, but it's...
Yeah, but, man, right, it's not
vote you, Trey.
Go ahead and vote, Trey.
This is like when they call the election. People are like, what about Hawaii and Alaska? We haven't counted those for us. They're like, yeah, nobody cares.
I'm actually going to say that's not a jam. It's overrated.
Oh!
I mean, only Alabama fans could take a song about Granger County, Tennessee, and make it their go-to end of the game.
We're trying
song.
To reclaim it. We're reappropriating it.
It's cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
Alabama. You took our song.
Sure as hell did.
How about this? You Bama fans either have to stop singing that song or the band Alabama has to change their name to Tennessee. How about that?
That band has plenty of songs about Tennessee besides that one. So.
Mm. Jeremy Pruitt's favorite band. You know he loves that song.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Why don't you turn that thing back up? All right. Thank you, Tanner.
You're welcome, I guess.
Thank you for that auditory assault on our minds. A perfect 5 for 5. I don't think that's ever happened in the history of Jam or Not a Jam. Maybe just...
it's just a tough crowd.
People just had a bad weekend and are not here for your silly little songs. Thank you, TC. What do we have coming up on overtime?
Well, I guess we have to discuss the past weekend, don't we?
Oh, you don't have to. You just...
Well, I feel like it needs to be addressed a little bit. Especially what Tennessee's statement on everything. Talking Tim Jordan, of course. You know, I think he probably got arrested for stuff that shouldn't even be illegal, but that's just my opinion. Talk more about the NBA's plan to try to get back to play. They're trying to come up with a solution and a bunch of other topics, and the birthday game included. I wonder if Bears ever going to call in and play the birthday game.
We lost
Bear. I don't know.
Oh, there he is.
He's thinking about it.
All right, Tanner, we are looking forward to it. Overtime coming up here in about 15 minutes, 6 until 8, right here on Fan Run Radio. We take our final break of the afternoon. We'll be back to wrap things up. Speak now, forever hold your peace. The Drive continues after this.
The Drive.
I wrap it up the show this afternoon watching video of California.
What's going on out there?
They're storming the Hot Topic on Long Beach.
Do you see those kids coming out of the vans? They must have tried looting a van store, and then all of a sudden you see one of the kids throw the boxes up in the air and take off running, and then pretty quickly after that you see a cop come running.
Oh, please come by. Yeah, well, how long do you think
stuff going on in Philly?
How long do you think this stuff continue? How long till we settle down?
I don't know, man. This has been simmering for decades.
2 months.
Yeah,
like I said, it's gonna be a long hot summer, and then we're going into a presidential election. It's gonna be crazy for a while, dude.
They just brought in 9 armored vehicles to the White House, like army vehicles.
Is Trump still there? You think they just get him out of there?
I don't know.
Take him to a secure location?
Yeah, he's in the bunker.
They're not getting in there?
No, hell no. They ain't getting there.
They start shooting people if they try and
climb that fence. You got those things on top of the roof. I mean, there's Vulcan cannons and stuff like that inside those. I mean, it's an armed fortress. You aren't getting in there.
Well, I hope.
Is it National Guard armored vehicles?
No, bro. It's military vehicles.
It's got to be National Guard.
It's the vehicles that transport the troops.
I mean, those can be National Guard, unless the president or whoever is suspended. How do you say it, Russ? Posse comitatus?
I don't know. I don't speak Latin.
United States military is not allowed by law to – they can't operate in the United States. Everybody's asking for the 82nd Airborne to be dropped into Minnesota. That's illegal.
Yeah, Brian Bennett of Time Magazine, senior White House correspondent, says, I counted 9 2.5-ton military trucks carrying troops in tan uniforms and helmets pull off 17th Street into the White House grounds.
I'm not sure how it works in the District of Columbia. I know that you can't send the 82nd Airborne to a state. Soldiers are not police officers.
Yeah, you could if we were under attack, like if somebody attacked.
It's like a Red Dawn situation, sure. But you can't, not on American citizens. U.S. soldiers are not, they're not cops.
What is the...
So people don't understand.
It just doesn't matter in the Civil War. It's just a state of war.
Yeah, I don't know when. I don't know the origins.
The Union never formally recognized the Confederacy, and obviously we used the Army then.
Yeah, I'll have to do some research on Posse Comitatus. But yeah, you can't.
Check out that text I just sent you, and you tell me what those things look like, bro.
Well, I'm just telling. I mean, hell, Trey, everyday, police departments have military equipment.
No, that's what I was asking you. You just brought up Red Dawn too. Did y'all like the newer version of Red Dawn?
Never saw it. Oh, those are deuce and a halves. Yeah, that's probably still. I would imagine it's there. I don't know. I mean, if they're on White House grounds, they might be Marine Guard.
Well, what do you do? Like, you can't. I mean, we can't just descend into anarchy. The police have to protect property and individuals. Like, they have to be out there. They can't just go away.
It's what the National Guard's for. United States military, again, you need to look it up. You need to ask anybody.
I'm not asking about what's legal and what's not legal. I'm asking how do we simmer down these tensions and get people to go home? And
I have no idea, dude. Illegal for the – you can't drop soldiers into American cities.
Breaking news out of NBC, they're saying president is considering invoking the 213-year-old federal law that would allow him to deploy active-duty U.S. troops to respond to protests.
So he's going to suspend Posse Comitatus. Yeah.
You keep saying that. I feel like
You want me to look it up?
That sounds like a punk band or something.
Ladies and gentlemen, Posse Comitatus.
If we only had an intern that could be looking that up for me right now.
Your first day back and you're bossing the kid around. I mean,
yeah,
he's been
I am.
Running the show for the past couple of weeks. You don't have to listen to him. Don't take that. Right. Don't take that. Yeah, you didn't ask him.
You need to stay out of. You need to stay out of it, Russ. Posse Comitatus. It's a United States federal law signed on June 18, 1878, by President Rutherford B. Hayes.
Well, he's talking about using
to limit the powers of the federal government
old.
In using federal military personnel to enforce domestic policies within the United States.
Well, what are we supposed to do, man? Because the cops aren't getting it done right now.
I don't
Their
know.
Hands are kind of tied.
But again, U.S. soldiers are not police officers. They do not do police actions.
Well,
they
not,
kill.
I don't think anybody wants soldiers to come in and start mowing
people down. What was the name of that? What was that movie? That Bruce Willis movie? And it was right around 9/11. They put it out. It was about the terrorists. But they basically in the movie
the siege
is incredible. But in that movie, he based it on what a real American colonel, you know, said about having American soldiers on U.S. streets carrying fully automatic M16s. They don't do police actions.
Well, I mean, we can't get them to just go and stand in these big cities in front of these stores and everything that are being looted and pillaged, where the owners are being drug out and beaten.
I mean, I guess you can if you suspend
it. Just stand there and just say, look, you stand right there and do whatever, you know, don't fire your weapon. I don't even have to give them weapons. But, I mean, these guys are soldiers. They can take on these mobs. There's enough of them.
We screwed up.
Y'all don't forget tomorrow, Dr. Bill Maurice and the Mayo Clinic is going to join us at 5:05.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Dr. Bill Maurice from the Mayo Clinic.
I have already got numerous questions for Dr. Bill.
All right, back on the show tomorrow. We're looking forward to that. So it should be a lot of fun. Trey, we good here?
Yeah, we're great. I hope you have a good night, and we'll do this thing again tomorrow. Bye, be safe.
You too. Thanks, man. Bear, thank you. Good to see
whoa,
you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. We got a – hey, Raj – we have screwed up and forgot all about you. Oh, call tomorrow.
I didn't even know he was on. Raj, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were
and
there, buddy.
Bump you right.
We'll get
the front
you back
of the line.
In tomorrow. Big thanks to John Not That Fulkerson for all of his hard work behind the scenes. Stay tuned, folks. Overtime coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.